Hey, this is Michael Hutchinson, and you're listening to the Front Row Podcast.
And welcome back to the Front Row Podcast, Tyler.
Thank you very much. I guess I'm a regular because you don't even need to use my last name. The listeners know. Tyler's back.
Yes. So,
great. How are you tonight, Don?
I'm great.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Thank you. So, this is episode 25 of the Front Row Broadcast.
Congrats, buddy.
Thank you. And
exciting.
Can you name three players that were 25?
Three players that named wore 25, eh? Okay, so the first one that comes to mind for me is obviously close to my heart, but Jason Arnott, the New Jersey Devils, scored the Stanley Cup winning goal, Game 6 in 2000. So he's the first one that comes to mind for me because that is probably one of my favorite moments as a hockey fan. When I think I was 11 when that happened. Okay, so another number 25. We talked about one off the air, so I don't want to use that one until I name two other ones. So I'm going to go with...
I go with, from the Senators, Chris Neal.
Oh, Chris Neal's a good one.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go with another former Devil and Cam Jansen. Actually, he has an awesome podcast. I don't know if you've listened to his podcast, but it is quite good.
Yeah,
he's a bit of a goofball. But Cam Jansen, tough guy for the New Jersey Devils as well. So yeah. I guess I should probably name.
I met him last year.
Did you?
Yeah.
At the Iceplex.
Yes, at the Mike King.
Yeah, he was here for the King Classic, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, he's. I can imagine he's a pretty fun guy.
Yeah, and I say a lot of those guys come out of the dressing room with red solo cups, and it's not water.
Yeah. And it's not water.
Yeah.
He's funny on his podcast. He always talks about the Bud Light Seltzer, I guess. They're a sponsor of his podcast. And he always talks about how mango is his favorite, mango flavor. He's a different cat. I enjoy him a lot. Okay, and so another number 25. Okay, let me go through what I can think of. In honor of frequent guest Stephen Burns, I'm going to go with former Detroit Red Wing Mike Green. We're number 25 with the Red Wings. 52, which is my favorite number, war with the Capitals, of course. So, but yeah, there you go. Arnott, Jansen, Mike Green are the first three to come to mind for me. And then, of course, we can't forget Winnipeg Jets legend Thomas Steen. Right.
Yes, we're number 25.
That's right,
and,
yeah, exactly.
He was a former guest of your podcast.
That's right, yeah. Whether it's defunct or not, he was a former guest of my podcast.
Yeah, so, and yeah, I've seen him a few times where I work, so he's a character, so.
Yeah, he was a really enjoyable guest for me. I enjoyed talking to that guy.
And
hopefully he's doing well.
And the last 25 that won with the current Jets, Paul Stastny, who's returning in this coming season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. Hang on a second. So I think I mentioned this the last episode that my computer desk here for our Zoom call is a cat tower.
Yeah.
So the computer is sitting on top of a cat tower. Okay. Anyways, as you were just telling me that, my cat just walked up and started scratching the cat tower and just about spilt my beer that's sitting on it too. So I had a bit of a panic moment. So I apologize.
That's right. And
you talking about Stastny?
Yeah, Stastny. Yeah, he's coming back.
What an awesome segue. Stastny's back in Winnipeg. Like, how cool is that? What do you think about that?
I like him.
Yeah.
And, now, one game I went to with a couple of guys I know who sat with her with the Moose, and they invited me to come to the Jets game. And I'm like, all right. And then I think it was overtime or the last few minutes. Like, I told them, like, either Connor or Stastny will score here.
And you got it.
And Stastny scored.
Oh, yeah. And you were like Don Cherry on coach's corner.
Yeah.
Hey, roll the clip. What did I say?
Yeah.
What do you know? I'm always right.
And then they're like, oh, he caught it, he caught it. I was like, I know.
This is, yeah. This is why I tell you kids to listen up when I speak.
Yeah. So I was like,
that's funny, man. That's super funny.
And,
but Stasny's, I think he's going to fit in pretty good on that second line. I mean, we talk about a player that, I mean, we knew he could produce when he was here.
Yeah.
And he was such a good fit with Laine and Ehlers at the time. Are you expecting similar production? Because I think he was under a point per game in the playoffs, and he was about the same in playoffs and season, I think. I can't remember his stat line, but I know it was close. So what are you expecting out of him in a, say, I know probably not looking at a full season, but what are you expecting out of him?
That's the thing. Like, he played, I don't know, the last 20 games with us, the last time he was here, compared to, like, maybe 82 games.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, like, 20 to 82, you don't know, right?
Yeah. Would it be unreasonable? I know he's coming off 38 points in, I think, 71 games with Vegas this year. Is it unreasonable to think that he would probably hit 50 with Winnipeg this year?
Possibility, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping last year was a down year for him, and he can kind of rediscover some of his magic.
Yeah, he's a couple years older, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's same age as you? Are you and Stasny the same age?
I know I'm the same age as Blake Wheeler.
But I'm not sure. You're born in 86. I think Stasny might be older. I think. Maybe.
Yeah, it's like he could be around the same age, yes.
Yeah, he's right in there. I think he might have been drafted in like 2005. So he might be a year younger than Wheels. I don't know. Whatever. No, we'll have to look that up.
Wheels should be 04.
Mm-hmm.
He's 05. Yeah, 04?
I think Stasny was 05 draft. Should we look it up? Okay, I'll look it up right now. Paul Stasny. Not Paul Stanley. Yeah. Paul Stanley played in Kiss, I think?
Yeah.
Oh, Stasny's born in 1985.
So he'd be on
December 27th, 1985. He's an American.
Yeah.
As we know, right? Because he's played for Team USA in the past. But his father used to play for
Slovakia.
The Quebec Nordiques.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Peter. Yep. And so he was born in Quebec City. So how about that? He's an American. He's born in Canada. But his dad is from Slovakia. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Cool story, Tyler.
Yes. Can he play for Slovakia? Like Steen can play for Sweden?
Oh, like Alex Steen?
Yeah.
Well, Paul Stasny plays for USA.
USA, okay.
Yeah, he's been a USA hockey guy for whatever reason. I don't know the backstory on that.
Kind of like the Brett Hull thing, right?
Yeah, I guess it would be similar to that. Yeah. You're born here, so you probably had an option to play as a dual citizen, I'm assuming. There was one guy, I want to say it was Peter Nedved. Remember Peter Nedved?
Yeah.
I want to say it was Peter Nedved that played in, oh boy, like 1988, or does that sound familiar? 1992 Olympics, maybe? And he played for Canada internationally. And then years later, because there's a rule that you got to go 20 years or something like that if you want to switch nationalities, right? And so Peter Nedved's played for both Canada and the Czech Republic, I think, in the Olympics, or at least internationally, he's played for both. I don't know if it was the Olympics for sure, but I know that there was a 20-year gap, and then he ended up on the Czech team. Kind of like how, you know, I guess he never did play in the Olympics, but I think Dustin Boyd and Nigel Dawes, did they not play for, like, Kazakhstan or something like that?
I heard something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's something strange like that. We'd have to look up the rules, but I know that's kind of a neat situation for those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to be Olympics this past summer, but it's being held next summer.
Yeah, that's right, and I heard a little bit about how the NHL's trying to compress their season, right? They want to get started in January, but I'm hearing that that's going to be difficult to get going on January 1st. So I'm hearing like mid-January might be around when the season starts, and then they have to have it over by mid-July because the Olympics are starting. Something along those lines, the Summer Olympics. So I guess we'll see what happens here.
Yeah.
Staying optimistic. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
So Halloween's coming up. Do you have any favorite Halloween movies?
Oh, boy. Favorite Halloween movies? That's a great question. I can't think of any off the top of my head, and I do apologize. I do enjoy, and I know I talk about The Simpsons a lot, but I do enjoy the Treehouse of Horror episodes.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorites. The Nightmare Before Christmas, I don't know if that's a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie, but I would say that I guess I would count that because it's the only one that's coming to mind right now. So,
because my previous guest of Sarah Nick, she will debate people on that being a Halloween movie. Yeah, she was she said, like, if you listen to that episode she was on, she will say she will debate people on that being a Halloween movie, with Spite being The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ah, okay. So what does she think it is? A Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
I think she says she looked at it as a Halloween movie.
Okay. Yeah, I would say it would probably be a Halloween movie as well. I'll hop on the Sarah Next train here and go with her.
It seems like then a lot of people say a Die Hard movie.
Right, that's supposed to be a Christmas movie, isn't
it? Yeah, they say, it's a Christmas movie. It's like, you watch that Christmas time, like...
Right.
For me, it came out like just before Christmas or around Christmas time. So I was like,
yep.
A lot of people watch that because, like, hey, it's Christmas, you know, let's watch it, you know, like.
Right.
Would you watch movies just for that because it's that time of year, or it doesn't matter?
Yeah. Well, I can't say I'd like go out of my way to watch a Christmas movie in like July. I mean, yeah, that's a hard one. I don't know. Maybe, like, I don't think if I went upstairs and Adrian was like, "Hey, do you want to watch Elf?" and I'd be like, "No, it's October. I'm not watching Elf." Like, I wouldn't do that. I'd be like, "Okay, I guess we're gonna sit down and watch Elf." So
that's the thing. Like, okay, October, wrapping up for Christmas. Okay, fine. If it's like June and July, like, why? It's like, I'd probably say no then.
Yeah.
Probably now, I'll probably, okay, fine, you know, it's coming, 2 months away.
What about something like Home Alone? Would you watch Home Alone if it were on TV? Like, say you were cruising the channels, whatever, and you didn't want to watch wrestling on Friday night, and then it's September 10th, and then all of a sudden Home Alone's on the TV. Are you going to watch it, or are you going to be like, no, I need to watch this at Christmas time?
That's the thing,
good debate.
It's depending on when you ask me. Right now, I say, yeah, it's fine, watch it, go ahead. But if it's my birthday in June, it's like, no. I want to watch something like summertime, right?
Now, in the same breath, with Tampa Bay winning the Stanley Cup in the month of, at the end of September there.
Yeah.
Was it October yet? No, it was still September.
Yeah.
It ended before October.
Yes.
So with that said, how dialed in were you to the playoffs when they began in August? Were you watching a lot, or were you like kind of casual? Like, I don't know if I should really be watching this during the summer.
That's the thing. I watched it more when the Jets were in. And after that, it's like I kind of tune in it because I had a bracket going and kind of like see how I'm doing kind of thing, but.
Yeah, of course.
If I wasn't...
How'd your bracket go, by the way?
I got second.
I remember. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, I got second. That's just my luck. You know, I was like riding high in first, football, then boom.
Yeah.
It's just my luck. You know, I was like, a couple years ago, I was in the pool with you and Kurt Dog and other JT guys. I was like... Mm-hmm. I was in the top three for the longest time. It's like you, me, and Curdy for the longest time in the top three.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think mid-season hit or just after, and, like, I just tanked.
You just tanked. You started to go for the first overall pick, even though there wasn't one.
Yeah, I was like, I felt like the Toronto Maple Leafs.
The fail for nail. You felt like the Leafs. Nice.
Yeah, nice. Look at the Leafs. They start off good. They look like, oh, well, we're going to make the playoffs. Like, dude, it's only September.
Careful, don't rip on the Leafs now, man. They got Zach Bogosian. They're going to be fired up this year. They got
And Jumbo Joe.
And, yeah, today they signed Joe Thornton.
Yeah, Jumbo Joe. So,
did you see, I saw this thing on the internet today. It's like, and it was like, all right, rewind. The year is 2010. Three of your centers are Spezza, Tavares, and Joe Thornton. Are you going to win the Stanley Cup? Was it in 2010? If you had those three, man, that's like, that would be.
Why? Like, everyone's like 10 years younger.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Like, so say in 2010, like, you're going to win the cup with those three, or at least you're going to have a good team. That was like, I remember at the time, Pittsburgh had Crosby, Malkin, and they had Jordan Staal, and that was like one of the best 1-2-3 down the middle at the time, at least from what I remember. But yeah, that was a pretty funny one. I was like, wow, yeah, 10 years ago, that's a deadly lineup down the middle.
But yeah, now, I remember 13 years ago, and look what happened with the Senators.
Yeah, and that was a good team too. Yeah, that was a really good team. Yeah,
sorry, Spencer. The heyday of the Senators right there, right?
Actually, speaking of, I don't know if I've asked you, but like, what do you think of Jason Spezza in a Toronto uniform? Does it bother you, or was he gone long enough that it's like, eh, whatever?
I think if he went from Ottawa to Toronto without going in to Dallas and Montreal, I was like, fuck.
Right.
Like, screw him, right? But
yeah, I think he was like, I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Yeah, I was like, and that's the thing, like, what's his name? The former Jet. He went to Carolina, Toronto, and then he's in Ottawa. What's his name? He's a defenseman.
Ron Hainsey?
Hainsey, yes.
Yeah.
So he went from Toronto to Ottawa. Like, hey, go. Hey. Because he needed that veteran D-man back there, so.
Yeah. Is he free agent right now? Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
What do you think of, I guess while we're on the topic, as far as free agency goes, what was your, this is a question for you, but what would be your biggest surprise of free agency so far?
Biggest surprise?
Yeah.
I have to really look right now because nothing really jumped out right now.
What about Taylor Hall going to Buffalo? What did you think of that?
I mean, he just took the 1 year, $8 million.
Yeah.
For him, good for him. You know, I was like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like.
I think
they needed someone to play with Eichel.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think this is a case of Taylor Hall probably betting on himself too, eh? Because he could have signed a long-term deal with Colorado or Vegas or whoever it would have been, right? And I just kind of thought that. When he signed with Buffalo, I was like, what? Why Buffalo? But then I like looked a little bit further into it, and he's got a no-trade clause in there for the 1 year. So what that could mean is that, so say, and I'm thinking this is brilliant by him and his agent. So he goes to Buffalo, gets to play with Eichel, plays his top power play, has a chance to kind of, you know, bring his value back up, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this year players aren't getting paid top dollar. That's just the way it is right now. And so... Say he gets a chance to play with Eichel. He has a point per game. Maybe not an MVP season. Like, I don't know if he'll return to that form again. But plays with Eichel. Has an awesome season. Goes into the trade deadline and say Buffalo's out of the playoffs. Then Buffalo goes, okay, like, you've got a no trade clause. Where do you want to go? And it's almost like he gets to skip the entire season and then... It's almost like a shortcut to the Stanley Cup. I mean, obviously, you still got a season to play and stuff like that, but say Colorado's got 110 points at the deadline or something crazy. And he goes, well, I want to go to Colorado. And they go, okay, well, then we'll try and negotiate a trade with Colorado. And then he gets to go and they win the cup. It's almost like a, I don't want to say it's like a cheat code, you know, but like really, really smart, I think, on his part and his agent to bet on himself and give it a go like that. But sure is interesting, I thought.
Yes, and he could sign a 8-year extension with Buffalo too.
Yeah, that too, right? He could get that, and he could get max dollar. And I would guess that if he put up a point per game, he'd probably be looking at money close to, well, I don't know if he'd be close to what Jack Eichel makes, because I think he makes like $10.8 million or something crazy.
Probably $8-9 million, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, like I could see $1 million raise in there, and then maybe max. How old is he going to be, 30? No, not quite. I think he'll be 29. I honestly, I don't even remember, but.
I could probably sign a 6 or 7 year deal.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, no, I think that was probably one of the biggest surprises to me, because I think everybody probably thought that Taylor Hall was going to a contender. Because, I mean, he says his winning is a priority, and then he signs in Buffalo. And, I mean, the only team that's been as bad as Edmonton for the last, and Edmonton, New Jersey for the last 10 years is Buffalo.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Or maybe the last 5 years, I wouldn't say 10. But, yeah.
So.
Interesting.
And, and a former guest of Hot Shot Danny Duggan, he went on Talk of Jericho. It came out today.
Danny Duggan did?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Wow, that's awesome.
And because Jericho did a Winnipeg thing, like 30 days and 30 broadcasts in 30 days. He talked guys from Winnipeg, wrestlers from Winnipeg or Canada anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
So Danny Duggan and another wrestler, AJ Sanchez, talked to
him. Wow, that's awesome. So did he give you a shout-out or no?
I kind of started listening to it before we talked here, so.
Yeah. Oh, good for him. That's a really cool opportunity. I mean, Jericho's – I was watching I don't want to steal the topic here, but I was watching some AEW highlights.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've been watching it or no.
Off and on.
Did you see him – who the heck was he talking to? Talking to MJF. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
They're going to have a match over a steak dinner. Did you see that?
I missed that part.
Okay, I'll send you the link, but the two of them are getting all heated or whatever, and Jericho goes, you know what, me and you, and we're going to fight for a steak dinner. And then MJF just like, he's like, you want a steak dinner? Is that what you want? Well, you're on.
I think I said something where it's like a dog collar match or something like coming up. Or
I don't know, but man, that was like MJF and Chris Jericho are just like just fantastic together. He's those
been,
two
been wrestling for 30 years.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, he's 50 years old.
Man,
I wouldn't say he looks young anymore, but like he's still one of the best things AEW has going. Like he's amazing.
Well, that's the thing, that he's a draw, so he's still a draw.
Yeah, he's such a draw. He's such a draw, and he can still put superstars over. Like, he's just, MJF is, in my opinion, one of the best in AEW.
He fought Orange Cassidy there in a match there, and yeah. Orange Cassidy won by throwing him into an orange thing.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, okay. I like how AEW is doing something different.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, they want to be different. Like, that's the thing. I like that. You know, like,
yeah, no, exactly. It gives you where WWE really hasn't strayed from like what they've done over the last forever, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't want to say it's like kind of gimmicky, but it seems like AEW kind of has a little bit more creative freedom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I was like, yeah. I think a lot of wrestlers, especially John Moxley, like AKA Dean Ambrose. So,
right.
I think before he left, he was kind of getting frustrated with the creative standpoint.
Yeah, and I think that was, didn't he go on Jericho's podcast and talk about that?
I think so. It was Jericho, I believe.
He might have. Yeah.
And, yeah, so I was like, he was getting frustrated with creative and Vince McMahon. And like,
yeah, and like, I mean, who can blame him, right?
Yeah, it's like, okay. Like, at first, he didn't want to say anything because he wanted to break out and wrestle and make his money. Where now, it's like,
he's almost like, his character is almost kind of like Stone Cold Steve Austin-ish, is kind of the vibe that I get from him.
Yeah.
Like, he's just badass brute that the crowd just absolutely loves. Like, they love that guy. Well, I guess there isn't really much of a crowd right now, but yeah, his character is 10 times better than it was in WWE.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That was nice to talk some wrestling. It's nice. I don't know. I go to work and nobody at work, you know, gives a crap about wrestling. So.
Yeah. It's different. I like wrestling. Something different from watching sports.
Yeah, exactly.
Hockey and
that. I was watching a YouTube compilation of some of the best of The Rock's disses. And yeah, he was giving it to John Cena. That's why earlier when I hooked up to the Zoom, and I was like, and you're like, I can't see you. So I went, you can't see me. Because yeah. I remember when he was making fun of him.
Anyway, I think at one point he called him Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, come out here with your green shirt, your orange shirt, your purple shirt. You look like a bowl of Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah. And then, now you seen that one where he disses Vicky Guerrero?
Yes, song? Yeah, because Biatch, you're so beautiful. That one?
Yeah, I was like,
yeah. Or you look terrible tonight. That was it.
Yeah.
Clapton there.
Yeah. So I was... some of the disses are some of the stuff he did is like, okay, that's terrible, but then I really like that one. It's like,
oh, The Rock in his prime. There's one I remember him making fun of Rikishi, and it was like one of the best things ever. Or when him and Jericho would go at it, like the two of them together were, that was some of the best work I think in the WWE ever, honestly, the two of them going at it.
And then there's that one scene early 2000s, probably, or maybe 2005, so somewhere in there. And there's the character Eugene.
Yeah, I remember Eugene briefly, yeah.
And so he, and the coach, he was, Eugene and the coach were going at, the coach was making fun of Eugene, and The Rock came out. And so The Rock is, making fun of the coach, you know, and then... The Rock asks Eugene, like, who's your favorite wrestler? He goes, Triple H. You know, I was like, it's The Rock's thinking, like thinking me, right?
I say me, and he says Triple H.
He's like, Triple H, and the coach is laughing at him. Yeah. Like,
that's awesome.
And it's like, then,
The Rock was always so bad to the coach. And yeah. Mikey Cole, like, he gave it to those two.
Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of funny. He's like, he kind of looks at him, like,
yeah.
And,
oh, that's awesome.
Then when the coach goes, like, ask something, like, instead of The Rock saying it, he's like, it, and then Eugene goes, like, it doesn't matter what you think or something. Because The Rock goes, like, what do you think about this? And then he's going to say something, like, Eugene, what do you say? Or think or something like that. It's like
oh, that's awesome. That's all. I love wrestling. You know, I'm going to go on YouTube after this, and I'm going to watch some old wrestling highlights. I love it, man. I eat that stuff up late at night. Last night I was watching, it was on... oh God, it would have been like SmackDown year 2000, and it was DX, and it was Triple H, X-Pac, Billy Gunn, and Road Dogg against, it was The Rock, Stone Cold, Kane, and Shane McMahon. And it was gold. It was so good. I loved it. It was awesome. I really, really enjoyed it. I missed that era of wrestling. It was so raw, and I mean we were younger, right? So it just seemed like the characters were so much more believable. I don't know.
And so with Eugene, mentioning back to Eugene, he actually toured with CWE and Hot Shot Daddy.
That's right. I think I've seen that, because he's been at like the top of those posters, has he not?
Yeah, like Eugene was here, and I think the Vince McMahon and Stone Cold rivalry was took WWE over the top of WCW, helped like take him over the Monday Night Raws, because like
the Monday Night Wars or whatever.
Yeah, right. The Monday Night Wars, and I think that kind of pushed him over the top for being the top dog in wrestling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and then they inherited all the talent from WCW, and they had a couple guys come over early, like Chris Jericho, right?
Yeah, Jericho came by himself, And yeah. I think 99.
Before the invasion in 2001, right?
Yeah, so 99, I think it was. Because he had did that Millennium Countdown, and he came out against The Rock.
Against The Rock, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the fan was like, who are you? He was like, it doesn't matter who you are.
That's right, he was giving it to him, I remember that.
And then I think it was Benoit and Eddie Guerrero and Perry Sardin.
Oh, I think yeah.
Right. And Dean Malenko.
Oh, yeah.
Those four guys were ringside the railing. And you know who was the first wrestler to kick off the invasion it was?
Who was the first wrestler?
Yeah, from WCW to kick off that invasion.
Oh, gosh.
He's Canadian.
That's a great question. I was going to say maybe it was Lance Storm.
It was Lance Storm. Was it? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think I read somewhere he said he was the first one to kick it off, right? The first one coming down, like, the ring, and, like, people like, what the hell? Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. I would have never guessed that.
If you watch the WWE Network, a lot of those guys talked about, like, when they took over, they kind of sent their, like, B roster instead of, like,
they didn't send the A roster. Like, Goldberg didn't come over right away, and those guys, right?
Those guys, because they have guaranteed contracts. Like, why?
They couldn't do it.
They could do it, but they had guaranteed that they'd rather sit home and get paid.
Oh, right. So
they had a guaranteed contract. So, like, oh, I'd rather stay home and...
Yeah, all the best guys didn't come until after.
Right? Yes, and then when the gravy train ended, they were like, okay, let's new contract.
Okay, now we'll all jump in, and then that's when the NWO guys came in.
Yeah, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Hogan, they debuted at No Way Out in like 2003.
Holy shit. Wow, you know all that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so
little wrestling history here. This is good. I'm enjoying this chat.
I've been watching like YouTube and stuff like that. Yeah, I was like, and when they came, the it was kind of wishy washy. So I was like, they didn't. So people were like, when they came, like it didn't really.
Well, they weren't the original members of NWO? Like, I don't remember.
Yeah, they were the original.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that part of it. So.
I think it was 2003 at No Way Out. They debuted.
Okay. Gotcha. So, man, it's hard to believe how long ago that is, hey?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, look at Flair. He came well after the invasion. Flair, Hall, Hogan, Nash, Goldberg. Like, those guys, seems like, didn't come out until after. And Sting.
Do you remember the Sting, yeah?
Like, he went to TNA. He went to TNA.
Way later.
Like couple years later. I don't know. A couple years ago, he was there.
Do you remember the? I'm just gonna Google it now, just so I remember. What the Chris Jericho and Goldberg feud back in WCW?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you remember how? I think it was Goldberg was like 180-0 or something like that, and Jericho was ripping on him or something like that, and said how he was going to be the first guy to beat Goldberg, and then Goldberg would never show up to fight him and stuff like that, and like Jericho like made up this character called Greenberg, or he was calling him Greenberg, and then like he was supposed to fight Goldberg, and then Greenberg ended up coming, and he was like this little short, like. Short, average-looking dude, and Jericho just, like, beat the crap out of him.
Yeah. That's the thing. They had the Gilbert in WWE.
Gilbert. Gilbert. And then I think there was also Greenberg.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Gilbert. I don't remember. But it was a Jericho gimmick. Like, it was one of his, best WCW moments, at least from what I remember.
Yeah, so...
But I think they, like, legitimately didn't like each other, I feel like.
Yes, there's a guy right now, they call him the Original Bro, that's his nickname, and he's on Raw right now.
And, that's Matt Riddle, isn't it?
Oh, Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
And I think there's a thing on Goldberg on the WWE Network that WWE did. And it is like behind the scenes. And he bumped into Goldberg, Matt Riddle. Like, and they bumped into each other. And Matt Riddle called him bro. Thing, and Goldberg, do not call me bro.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And Goldberg's like, he was going to look like he's going to beat him up. But he's like, so, and then they said something, and then he walked Matt Riddle out there. Yeah. So I was like, I think he didn't take well to getting called bro.
Yeah, I guess not. And was that real, or was that staged, do you think?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know if it was like an actual thing, or it's like, hey, you know, like.
That's when you know it's good. That's when you know it's good wrestling, or I guess.
If you don't know.
Kayfabe, is that what they call it? Kayfabe?
Kayfabe, yeah.
Yeah, that's when you know it's great kayfabe, because like you just have no idea sometimes. Or like you get so invested, and like you almost kind of get caught up in it sometimes. Like I remember like I was watching, I was watching wrestling videos last night, and where I was watching that match, and Kane was one of the first guys to come down, and I just remember as a kid thinking like how badass I thought Kane was. And like he coming down the ring, like in his mask, and he comes down and he does like the whole like arms up and like the fire comes out, and I'm just like, and I'm watching this as an adult, and I'm like, oh man, like I totally bought the Kane gimmick. Like,
funny story, when the Undertaker was originally named Kane the Undertaker.
Yes. Yeah.
And Vince McMahon's like, I don't like that anymore. Just call him the Undertaker.
Hmm.
Then when this gimmick came about, the half brother of Kane, right? Undertaker, right? And Kane is like, oh, Kane, you know, Kane.
Yeah, that's right. The Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's how Edward's raised is Kane the Undertaker.
Yeah.
And
that's how the name came to be then.
And yeah, it's like Kane, right? Kane the Undertaker. So it's like, okay. And then, like, I don't, like, that kind of bugs me where there's a lot of NXT guys, like Rusev, like, now he's in, he was originally Alexander Rusev. Then he went to the main roster and he's just Rusev.
Was Rusev. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So.
And he's like that. It's like, if you get to know someone by, like, Angela Rusev, like, and he's just showing it to Rusev, like, why? And I kind of think, like, okay.
It just seems like if Vince doesn't like it, he just does whatever the heck he wants. At least that's with
the Big Show. When he came to WWE, he was Paul White.
Paul White. And wasn't he the Giant?
The Giant in WCW.
Right.
And then when he first came over, it was Paul White. And
right, that's his real name, isn't it?
I think so. And then one day, I think, and then they, again, like on WWE Network, so I'm applauding the WWE Network here, but it's like, and you know, on there, I think they talking about, it's like, yeah, one day, like, Vince came back at me, he's like, I'm going to call you the Big Show. I was like, what? The Big Show? And I was like,
yeah.
Like, and a lot of people
say, the rest is history.
And it's like, a lot of people, like, he said, it once Vince McMahon has something in his mind, he won't get off it.
No, that's what it's going to be,
That's the way a lot of wrestlers get frustrated. It's like, mm-hmm. This is stupid. You know, like, I don't want to be called Big Show or this or
right,
that.
Right, you get stuck into this gimmick that is awesome, and really, like, you just want to do your own thing, or, like, you have this idea, and he's like, nope, you're Dean Ambrose, that's what you are.
It's like, that's what...
Unstable.
That's Vince McMahon, I understood. So, like,
good old Vince.
So, like, I wonder if, like, when he goes, I wonder if, like, they have more freedom, or will, like, Seth.
Well, what'll even happen at WWE at that point, right?
Like Triple H.
Triple H, I'm sure, yeah.
So, will he be, like, kind of sticking to that, or will he be, like, a different direction, then be 50-50 on it and have, okay. Be still secular on it, or and be something new, or go with something new.
It's an interesting question because I think the WWE realizes that AEW is quickly gaining steam, right? Like AEW is probably the best competition they've had since WCW. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Like I think that WWE might be, even under Vince McMahon, might be forced to kind of adopt, maybe not so much like the way AEW does things, but it's clear that what AEW is doing is working because they've lured some pretty good superstars like Matt Hardy's come over and Rusev has come over now. And so
the best man, Miro. The best man, Miro.
Yeah. Miro, is that, was it?
That's yeah, Miro,
his
yeah. The best
man. Because his real name is Miroslav, isn't it?
Or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Barniashev or something, like Miroslav Barniashev. So, like, I think WWE is going to be forced to kind of evolve and change their ways because they're gaining some steam in AEW. I almost kind of preferred watching it because it's just
something different. It's
something different, and one thing that's, I don't want to say bothered me a lot, but when I watch AEW, like I said, it seems a little bit more raw. You've got Jim Ross calling it, which is, he's got a great last name. We'll give him that.
Yes, great.
Great last name. And he...
And he's not a relative.
No, he's not a relative. Nope. What was I going to say? The camera work on WWE, you know how on the real high-impact moves, the camera like goes boom, like jumps at you, right? In AEW, I find it doesn't do that, and I just find it's easier to track like what's going on in the match. Like, I don't know. I honestly prefer the camera work, and that seems like such a nerdy thing to say, but I don't know. When I see it on YouTube, I'll click AEW a lot of times, like the newer matches before I watch the newer WWE. Now classic WWE or WWF, I'm going to watch all day long. Right. But yeah, it's interesting to see where it's headed.
Yeah, so, and you remember the matches between Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so you remember I'm Your Poppy because they had Dominic there?
Yeah. So, Rey Mysterio's son, yeah.
Yeah, Dominic. So he's little with blonde hair.
Yeah.
So I saw someone meme, and they put Dominic, that picture with him with blonde hair, and they put Miro beside him, like
yeah.
Then and now.
That was like, a picture. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
I thought that was awesome.
And it's different. And I was like, I want to kind of somehow ask Dominic Guerrero, watching his dad back in the early 2000s.
Dominic Mysterio, you mean?
Yeah, Don Mc. Yeah, watching his dad.
Who is this pappy? Did you just give it away? Is it Guerrero?
No.
Who knows?
Oh, anyhow.
Remember, that was for his custody. I remember that. Wow, that's crazy.
I was wondering, like, how, like, from, like, 20 years ago to now, what he thought about it, and, like, then, and how wrestling is now.
And now he's a superstar.
Yeah, so
it's pretty crazy seeing that, considering like he was in the storylines as a kid, and now here he is fighting against guys like Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. Like that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you like the Fiend?
Do I like the Fiend?
Yeah. The Bray Wyatt.
You know what? It's a gimmick I've never really enjoyed that much. It's cool because it's different, I guess. But, like, I remember the first time, like, he introduced himself as a character or whatever, and I was watching it with Adrian, and I remember her being like, I don't like this. Turn this off. It just made her feel uncomfortable. But now he's got Alexa Bliss on his side. And you know me, big fan of Alexa Bliss's.
Me too.
Yeah, and so, all of a sudden, you know, I was like, hey, Bray Wyatt's pretty good. Yeah, go Bray.
I saw her at the Dallas airport, Fort Worth.
You saw him there?
I saw Alexa Bliss there.
Oh, yes, that's right. And did you blow her a kiss?
I walked behind her.
Like, oh, yes. Okay.
So, okay. Like, yeah. Not in a non-creepy way.
She's from Columbus, I think, eh?
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio.
I remember one segment of her, like, torching her own hometown. That was pretty awesome. Like, she's
trying to get a heel in her hometown, but it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, she's interesting because she played the heel so well.
And then she
turned completely babyface for, it felt like, forever.
Yes, so, yeah, in Ohio, I think the Ohio State University, or the Ohio, yeah. And now they go, they're saying, O-H, then they go,
I-O.
And I was like, yeah. Then she did that for a couple of times, and it's like, told you I'd get a bunch of guinea pigs or something,
Yeah, I told you I'd get all these
sheep or something.
Sheep ball or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like they kind of booed her for a few seconds and then cheered again. Like,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's kind of like Jericho coming here and like trying to make fun of Winnipeg, right? He can make fun of Winnipeg for anything because he knows more about Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. And like that's the thing. They get like, hey, go on this and make fun of this, you know? Because not a lot of people know. Yeah. Like say, Seth Rollins come up here, can make fun of Winnipeg. But we heard all those things before. Where Jericho, he can make fun of something that we never heard before.
Exactly. Seth Rollins can make fun of his little town in Iowa that he's from. And Jericho can make fun of St. James and we'd all cheer, right? Like, he could do no wrong here, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Awesome talking wrestling. I'm enjoying this.
Yes.
Something different for the podcast, too.
Yeah. Yes. So, do you have anything else to say?
Well, you know what? I know you were talking about doing a quiz, but, you know, we got together a little bit early, and so Bernsey couldn't be with us, but I was thinking of trying something out with you.
Yes.
All right. So you ready for this?
Yes.
How many, and maybe I should pull this up on my phone just so I can clarify this as you're doing it, but let's go with Stanley Cup winners in reverse order, it's from 2020, and see how far you can go. Now, this is something that is like, it's a lot of fun for me. I don't know how long you'll make it. If I were to like guess how far I could make it, would be to maybe like the mid 80s, and then I think I would be done. But let's see how far you can make it.
Okay, so like 2020 is Tampa Bay Lightning.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, and then 2019.
Yeah.
Well, I can't really do a first order because I know 19, St. Louis.
Okay, so I haven't looked at anything beyond that. So if you're in trouble, I'll scroll down and I'll name the next one.
Right. Tampa Bay, okay. St. Louis, Washington.
Yeah. Washington, 2018, yeah.
And then 17.
Yeah.
That was... No, the Washington, Vegas. 17.
Yeah. Can I give you a hint?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, think repeat.
Oh, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. 17, yeah. So then
16.
Yeah.
I think
the other half of the repeat.
Chicago.
No.
Detroit?
Pittsburgh.
A repeat, I think like 08, 09, sorry.
Yeah, no. Okay, so 16, Pittsburgh.
You said repeat, I think like 08, 09.
So let's go to the year you were born. Let's see how we do here.
The year I was born?
Yeah, let's go to 86. But let's keep going. So 15 was?
Wait, don't jump on back and forth on me like this.
No. I just want to see like how many you could get right like up to your birthday, up to 86. So you had Chicago for 15, so you're right.
Yeah, then
14.
14 at L.A.
Yeah.
Then 13 was Chicago again.
Yeah, good.
And then 2012 again? 2012?
Yeah. 2012, yeah. We watched this one in your basement.
It was LA again.
Yeah, we watched it in your basement. You saw me cry.
Yeah, LA, because he beat New Jersey.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good.
And
2011.
11? Oh, Boston Bruins.
Yeah, good. Okay.
10? Was it the first of three for Chicago?
Yeah, very good.
And then, and the first for Marin Hossa, and third consecutive playoff for Hossa in the Stanley Cup final.
That's right, yeah.
So,
and
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, 2009, yeah.
2008. And then 8 was Detroit.
Yeah, good. And then, should we skip 2007 or?
No, Anaheim.
Yeah. And then 2006.
2006, the year after Larko.
Yeah.
06, that'd be Detroit?
No, it wasn't Detroit. Can I give you a hint?
East Coast?
Yeah, East won. Game 7 against the Oilers.
Carolina. Then yeah, Tampa Bay in 04.
Yeah, because 2005 there was nothing, right? Yeah. So Tampa Bay in 04, and then 2003.
Three? This is a hard one to do, right?
Oh, it shouldn't be hard. It's one of my favorite teams, actually.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's hard. I'm just bugging you. New Jersey Devils.
And Devils,
then
yeah.
Then Detroit in 2002.
Yeah,
2002,
yeah.
Then,
we could just skip 2001, whatever.
Colorado.
Beat the Devils, yeah.
Yeah. And,
so in 2000.
New Jersey, beating the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Leads into their Stanley Cup win in 99.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're rolling now. Okay, 99, right away.
The next 2 years is Detroit.
Yeah, so that's 98, 97. Good.
And,
so
And their first Stanley Cup in franchise history.
Yeah.
And they're in the after their first season. Yeah. Colorado Avalanche. Colorado, 95. Yeah. The first of three Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
In New Jersey. 94 is your all time favorite team in the New York Rangers. Then.
Those who can't see, I'd be going big thumbs down there. So then
93. The last Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup, and they're 24th, Montreal.
Was it 24? Wow.
24. Then the next 2 years is the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay.
90 is their last Stanley Cup of 5, and of Edmonton Oilers.
Now you're rolling. This is good. I'm enjoying this. See, I knew you'd get going.
And then 89.
Great year.
And back-to-back teams from Alberta in Calgary. Yeah. Then 87.
So 88, sorry.
Oh, 88 and 87 were Edmonton.
Yeah, and then 86 was?
Montreal. And then Edmonton for 2 years.
Yeah, can you keep
and then
going?
Then the next four, the New York Islanders.
Wow, you've gone up to 1980. That's incredible.
Then 79 was Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
Then I think then the next two, 77 and 78 are the Philadelphia Flyers.
No.
No?
You're close. You're really, really close. So Montreal won 4 Stanley Cups between 1976 and 79.
Okay, I knew they were in the 4. Yeah.
So there was 4 there, because Montreal won a bunch of cups in the 70s. I think they won 6.
4? No, they won 5 in a row in the 70s.
They won 4?
No, 4 in a row and then 5 in the 60s.
Yeah, it's something crazy like that. But yeah, that's pretty good. You made it all the way to 1979.
And then the Flyers won the 2 years before the 4 years.
Yeah, it would have been 1974-75 with the Flyers. They were the first, I think they were the first non-original six team to win.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't win any back-to-back there. Then they haven't won one since.
Yeah, they haven't won one since. That's
they came close. Wow, what year was that? 90...
Or, Flyers?
Yeah, in the 90s or 2000s, they came close.
In 97, they against the Red Wings. And then again in 2010 when they were against Chicago.
Yeah.
So that's pretty darn good, Donnie. You did way better than I thought you would do. I shouldn't say way better. I knew you would get up to your birthday, but like... To nail all those ones that Edmonton won. Because, I mean, there's five of them. But, yeah, no, it's impressive. Well done. That's all I got for you, though. So.
Okay. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, that was a fun episode. I really enjoyed that. So
you stay classy?
Yeah, know your role and shut your mouth, jabroni.
Okay. You drive safely.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Front Row Podcast. Download the show on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. Contact us on Twitter or Instagram at Podcast Front Row and join in the conversation. Catch us next time on the Front Row Podcast.